Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, February 3rd. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. The University of Wyoming might lay off roughly 160 employees if state lawmakers' budget bill becomes law as currently drafted. Wyoming Public Radio's Chris Clements explains.
Lawmakers have proposed a $40 million cut to UW's block grant. Each of UW's colleges could be reduced by 15.4%, besides the Colleges of Education and Agriculture, which lawmakers left out. Interim Provost Ann Alexander says that could mean dozens of university workers would be laid off.
There's really no fat. We're pretty much, we're at the bone at this point. So we have staff that have taken on more and more duties than they signed up for.
Alexander cautioned that the number of layoffs is still rough math, since lawmakers will continue to edit the budget bill in the upcoming session. She says any students who are in a degree program that's later eliminated would be able to finish their studies and earn their degrees. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Chris Clements.
Wyoming's high school graduation rate hit a decade high last year at 83%. Several alternative schools saw gains over the previous year, graduating more students within 4 years. That includes Wind River Learning Academy, Expedition Academy, Triumph High School, and Black Butte High School. Wyoming State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Megan Dagenfelder, told Wyoming News Now that her office at the state level has been focused on her strategic plan initiatives.
Empowering parents, focusing on career and technical education, patriotism, teachers, and early literacy.
State lawmakers are doing a regular revision of the model Wyoming uses to fund its public schools. A court also ruled last year that the state has been unconstitutionally underfunding its public schools. The state has appealed to the Wyoming Supreme Court. Last week, organizations across Wyoming completed an annual tally of people experiencing homelessness across the state. Wyoming Public Radio's Indy Kara reports.
The point-in-time count is required of all states by the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. The count tallies how many people were completely unsheltered or using emergency shelter on one night in January. Here in Wyoming, it took place last Wednesday into Thursday. The numbers are valuable, but local leaders stressed it's not the whole picture. Bobby Nielsen Rogers is with the Wyoming Continuum of Care, which coordinates the counts across the state.
The issue with the point in time is it is a snapshot. It is one night out of 364 other nights.
Data from the count gets reported to HUD and is ultimately given to Congress to guide funding decisions. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Indy Kara.
A hyper-local sage-grouse program that's been around for more than two decades in Wyoming has ended. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
Wyoming's eight local sage-grouse working groups came about in the early 2000s as the birds' populations were plummeting.
The vibe at the time was, hey, we've got to get ahead of this or we'll be behind it.
Bob Budd has led Wyoming's sage-grouse restoration efforts. The goal was to keep the bird from being listed as an endangered species, and so far they've been successful. He says the local working groups helped with things like lek or nest counts, but also where the birds are.
I can remember one where they said, well, no, that's completely wrong. That's the cliff. There's not habitat.
The groups abruptly ended this last week. Bud says funding is tight as it shifted from the legislature's responsibility to Game and Fish in 2018. He says the statewide sage-grouse team will still rely on local group members, albeit informally. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
A novel new material called Clarigel is being used to help patients with hard-to-heal wounds. It can be injected into open wounds or stretched to cover large surface areas. It can help people confined to bed or with diabetes, helping to prevent infections and amputations. Doctors currently use a range of products, but the Colorado School of Mines professor Melissa Krebs, who developed the material, says this is different.
the polymer itself that the material is made from is inherently anti-inflammatory and repels bacteria, reduces infection, all in a single product.
Krebs says the Department of Defense is interested in using it on burns and battlefield wounds. It goes on the market in March. And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A local restoration has been highlighted by a national magazine. The Sheridan Press reports Luke Knudsen purchased a dilapidated 1915 house when he was 16. Old House Journal published an 8-page feature on how he took the Benham Johnson bungalow from buckled floors, collapsed ceilings, and 1980s fixtures to a warm, period-accurate home. A Weston County artist had her work in a Denver Art Museum showcase. The Newcastle Newsletter Journal reports Caitlin Cox's beaded representation of her inner self was featured in Indomitably Indigenous. Mind, Heart, and Soul features a scale with a heart and a brain balanced against one another. Breast cancer patients have a new resource. The Rock Springs Rocket Miner reports social worker Rita Calzada and radiation oncology nurse Eva Wasin are now certified mastectomy fitters. This means, along with educational materials and other supplies, the new breast boutique offers free bra fitting consultations and breast forms and prosthetics for breast cancer patients. And according to Seating Masters, Wyoming has the 10th highest number of fast food restaurants per capita in the country. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. In what year was the first polo match contested in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, how many Wyomingites have won gold medals at the Olympics? There have been two. In 2000, Afton's Rulon Gardner became the first American to win gold in Greco-Roman wrestling. And in 1994, Tommy Moe, who now lives in Wilson, won gold in the downhill. He also won silver in the Super G in the same Lillehammer Winter Olympics. Congratulations to Roberta Smithson, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy your day and join me again tomorrow.